1. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. Very excited. A few weeks ago, I was lucky enough to speak in Times Square at what I called the reawakening of America in New York City, finally. And I was so impressed with my guest today that I had to have him on. And then before I even had him on, I was with him again at the Patriot Center and spoke with him again. And I said, God really wants us to connect. So please, everyone, welcome Jason Shurka. He is a man you should know and a man making a difference. Thanks for joining me, Jason.
Thank you for having me on, Mel. It's a pleasure to finally do this and connect in this way.
I know. I'd heard about you for a long time. People saying, you should meet him. You should meet him. And then God had put us together and we met. And then we met
That's
again.
That's how it happens.
And now we're here.
That's how it happens. It happens perfectly one way or another.
Right. Well, that's what's happening now in general. It seems people are really going one way or the other, connecting with people at the right time, in the right place. Lots of people that I always thought, oh, I should connect with them. It's just happening. And yep. Other people, they're going a different direction. And that's great. Everyone should play their part. But Absolutely. As for you, somehow out of the last few years, but certainly the last several months, you've attracted a lot of people because you're out there with a message that I think is so important. And if you tell my audience who doesn't know you yet a little bit about how you ended up on the front lines of this spiritual battle between good and evil and how you were making a difference in a lot of people's lives.
Absolutely. So again, thank you, Mel. Let me try and summarize it because it's a very interesting journey that is very long but can be consolidated. So always, I mean, ever since I could breathe and speak, I was always the person that sort of went against the grain. So even growing up in school, middle school, high school, I was always kicked out of health class. Okay. They didn't like when I said that there are remedies for cancer that are being suppressed for certain reasons, you know? So I was brought up in this way, which is why I learned so much about it. And I had the privilege of being raised in a family that was very into alternative medicine. My father specifically, although he's a businessman, he's in real estate, he's very, very attracted to the healing modalities of the world, alternative levels, which are really where everything comes from. So I had this privilege of seeing people that the mainstream told them, you have 3 months left to live, you're going to die, you're done, you need chemo, and even chemo can't help you to, oh, if you just change a few things, you can actually not just save your life, but also live a better one. Wow. So I was brought up into this reality where there was a lot of empowerment. And I saw a lot of people didn't live with that lens of empowerment. So I had this motivation, this passion to say, okay, well, then let's start empowering people. And in the beginning doing that, I was always called crazy. From the beginning, just like my dad and everybody else in my immediate family is called crazy because we thought differently than everybody else. And I really voiced that opinion, expressed it. And one thing sort of led to another, and that's kind of how I lived my life up until a few years ago where there was a big shift where I was approached by an individual. That individual sort of came to me in the form of a stranger. Little did I know that he was not a stranger. He came to me with an intent, and I didn't understand that at the time. You could think about it as like a sort of scouting where just like, think about it like in the CIA, there are undercover portions of the CIA that nobody knows about. And if you're ever going to know about it, it's because they've been following you for some time. They approach you in a specific way and they bring you in. And in June of 2018 was the beginning of a process like that for an incredible organization that is the exact opposite of things like the CIA or the Mossad or the FBI or any one of those or organizations that are very dirty in terms of where they come from and what they're working with and who they're affiliated with.
Right.
So again, I didn't understand this when I was first approached, but it came to a point where over a period of a couple of years, this person that started as a stranger turned into a very, very good friend of mine, eventually sort of disclosed more and more and more information about who he was, what he does, the types of things he can do, and who's behind him in terms of now this organization. The name of the organization is called TLS. I'll tell you in advance, it's not something you can Google. The only thing you're ever going to find about it is in regards to my name, because down the line in the story that I'm going to share with you, I was given the opportunity to bring their existence to public awareness at some point in 2020. So what pretty much happened was over a period of time, I'm being put through this disclosure process, being told, taught and told incredible things, being shown incredible things, being put through incredible experiences. And I'll give you an example, because the types of things that I'm talking about here, we're not just talking about high physical technology. We're talking about access to you can call them supernatural abilities if you'd like. They're actually very natural. We're just completely suppressed. Okay. But we call them supernatural abilities that individuals do have access to and use for incredible ways. And one quick story I'll share on the way is over a period of time leading up to a specific meeting, and I'll tell you about that meeting, but leading up to a meeting that I was invited to, I was told things, taught things, shown things, experienced things, but I always wanted more. So there was always a point where this individual who approached me, which by the way, we're going to call him Ray. That's not his real name. He would like to remain anonymous. So right, I know. For practical purposes, we're going to call him Ray. So throughout a period of a couple of years, Ray is putting me through certain things to sort of validate things more and more and more for me. One being, there was one day where he was teaching me about how different states of consciousness works and how different dimensions work and how to move in between these dimensions and what it really means and all that. And I'm very fascinated by this lecture that he's giving me and this teaching that he's teaching me. And I come to understand that pretty much moral of the story is everybody is born with a specific state of dimensional awareness. And everybody possesses a specific state of dimensional awareness in this point in time. And you're not always where you were born at. So if you started eating garbage, drinking dirt, you know, doing all these things, it can suppress yourself from where you were born. So I'm like, listen, can you measure me? And in Hebrew, and the reason why I say in Hebrew is because he happens to be somebody that's fluent speaking in Hebrew. So that's a lot of the things that I'm taught through, although this organization has nothing to do with religion or race or any of those things. Right. It's just him and the people that I'm affiliated with specifically.
Right.
Because that's applicable to me. He goes and he's like, I asked him, I said, can you do it to me? And the technique in Hebrew is called Tnuchat Ubar, which means the fetal position method or the fetal position technique. Lays me on my left side. I'm laying down. He puts two fingers on my forehead and one or two fingers around my belly button. And he lays there on our, both of us on our left side. He's like molding around my body on the back of me for about 10 minutes. And he's doing this thing and it feels like he's getting electrocuted. I'm like, okay. And I say, okay, after this whole thing is done, tell me, you know, what's the reading? And he says, go to sleep, go home, go to sleep. We'll talk tomorrow. But remember your dream and write it down when you wake up. I said, okay, wow. Okay, no problem. Again, giving the benefit of the doubt, I'm interested, open mind. Let's see what this guy got. I go back home, I go to sleep. I wake up with a very vivid dream. Animals in the jungle, all these different animals. And I remember it vividly. I was like a Mowgli in the jungle running around. And I speak to him and I'm like, okay, this was my dream. And he said, okay, anything else? I said, no. He says, what about the alligator? And I'm like, how'd you know that? And he starts telling me what the alligator was doing in my own dream, because there's a method that part of what they're able to do is they can actually, it's called Torah HaChalamot, the dream Bible. If you learn certain codes and formulas, you can actually go into dreams and use certain influences. Now, of course, they use it for good purposes to help people, influence people subconsciously to do something. But right. If something like that falls into the wrong hands, you got a big problem.
Right.
Anyways, I'm invited. That was one of the validations that I got of many.
Right.
I'm invited to this meeting on February 6th of 2020. Meeting lasted about 12 hours. And it was very, very long. And the only reason why it ended was because somebody had to leave. Something happened. Somebody had to go. It was nine of us, six on one side. I was on the side of the six, being spoken to by three on another side, one facilitator speaking to us. Without going into too many details, just because I'm not allowed to disclose everything that happened in that meeting,
right.
What happened in that meeting gave me all the validation I needed for the two years leading up to that point of me knowing everything over here is legit. There's good intentions. These are good people with incredible abilities, and they're using it for positive purposes. And in that meeting, the facilitator of the meeting instructed Ray to document something called the Pyramid Code. Meeting ends. In that meeting, the facilitator told Ray, The only condition is once you write it, you have to give it to everybody in this meeting. I was in that meeting. Comes June, 4 months pass after that meeting. I'm overwhelmed, like, holy Lord, what the hell is happening? It was crazy. And comes June, I'm handed a document in Hebrew, about 31 pages in Hebrew, the pyramid code. Okay, now I don't know Hebrew that well. I know how to speak it decently now. I've been learning, but especially at that point, it was very hard for me. So I had help translating it into English. I'm reading this document. It's blowing my mind. It's empowering me. And I want to share it with the world. But I go to Ray and he says, no, like that's not happening. So I was under the assumption that this thing had to be kept confidential until I understood that that was not the case. And TLS wanted Ray to put this out to the world. But Ray, being in the position that he's in, an undercover individual who is pretty well known in the world, doesn't want his cover to be blown, doesn't want to deal with everything that would come with the release of, hey guys, this is who I actually am. And who you think I was is just a real double life, because that's what's going on here. Right. So he decided he doesn't want to do it. And for about a month, I'm going back and forth with him. You have to do this. I don't care what you do. We're getting this document out. It's really powerful. I want people to know about it, and they should know about it. And there's no reason why, because you don't want people to look at you weird, you're not going to put it out. That's not a good reason for me. So we're going back and forth. He comes back to me about 3 or 4 weeks later, and he says, listen, here's the compromise. You want to put it out so bad. I spoke to everybody necessary in the organization. You're going to be the one to put it out. You're going to make it written by anonymous to protect his identity and any identity of any individual in that document. And you're going to be the one to put it out. And the first thing I said was absolutely, not understanding at the time that what he really said was, you're going to be the first person that's ever going to disclose and bring to the public eye the existence of this organization that has power that's incomprehensible to even people that work in that organization for 40 years. It is unbelievable. Several of hundreds years old that you just don't know, then behind the scenes doing what they're doing. I'm talking 400 years old, specifically 424 years old was the facilitator of that meeting. These things are very real. They're human beings doing incredible things, and it's all happening behind the scenes. That's the whole war between the light and the dark that we're really talking about. There are magical things. TLS, by the way, had a very, very big affiliation with rescuing children from the underground tunnels in the year of 2020. Right. I put out a lot of information having to do with that every time they gave me briefs to share with the public, which happened about 5 times between 2020 and the beginning of this year. So it's been incredible. The pyramid code, when I said yes, I was instructed to put it out on 9-9 at 9 a.m. Eastern time, September 9th of 9 a.m. in 2020. At this point, I did not have a platform. I did not have a following. I did not have anything. I trusted the process. I went with it. I took the document. I put it up on jasonshurka.com for free for anybody who wants to download, read, share, do whatever you want. It reached millions in a very short period of time. Within 3 hours, it reached every continent on Earth, with the exception of Antarctica. And that really, I mean, that fueled everything that you're seeing now. And what I'm doing today is really just what I've always been passionate about, only with a platform that started with the Pyramid Code. And there's about to be another major release happening on November 11th, and just a few days from now. And in exactly a week from today, there's going to be a very big drop from, I would say, an even more significant document than the Pyramid Code. It's called Rays of Light, and I'm excited.
Great. Now, for people that don't know what the Pyramid Code is and are hearing about you and this, I talk a lot on several of my shows, the ones that survived after the YouTube purge, about a lot of this stuff and how it goes way back, centuries. A lot of this technology has been suppressed. A lot of it is has nothing to do with actually modern medicine. A lot of the cures, a lot of the Rockefeller-based medical industry, and the same puppet master base is really not about healing you. It's about money and making you sicker. So for people that don't know about the Pyramid Code, because you also understand a lot about biblical numbers and all this stuff. There's been a lot of people that come out and they're not really explaining it or doing what is really the truth in the Torah, in the gematria, all of that. There's been a lot of people that have lobbed onto it, but they're not really, you actually know a lot more about the biblical and the God sense of this. So for people that don't know anything at all, what are, how can they familiarize themselves with what you are putting out there really fearlessly to a planet that has been suppressed for decades by these same puppet master demons?
Well, let's first change decades to millennia. It's been a very long time. It's been a very, very long time.
That's for sure.
The pyramid code, the reason why it's called the pyramid code, by the way, is because there is an actual code that it was written according to, meaning a formula. And by the way, that's the same thing with things like the Zohar, the Kabbalah, the Torah, the Old Testament. I'm sure many other books, those are just the ones that I know of.
Right.
Now, back to what you just said, there's a lot of people that think that, for example, there was a book that came out called The Bible Code. And it's some guy that thinks because he made an incredible algorithm on a computer, you could figure out the code of the Bible. That's not how these things work. That's not how they'll ever work. And a computer will never be able to figure out a code of that type of nature. I don't care how intelligent and artificial intelligence and geniuses behind the algorithm they are, it will not happen because it's built beyond those things. It's built, it transcends those limitations of what an algorithm can actually do. With that being said, the formulas are also very simple. Now, I do want to be transparent to say that I do not have the codes in my possession. But from what I do know about the codes, because I've asked a lot of questions about them, they are relatively simple. The pyramid code is a little bit harder than the code of the other book that's coming out now called Rays of Light. It would take, from my questions that I've asked, about 6 months to learn and learn how to read it in a way.
Right.
But for example, there are some times where I see the individuals who do know that code, they'll literally flip the page upside down and they'll see something that we just don't know because we don't know how to read it in that way.
Right.
Sometimes they'll pick it up to the light. Sometimes they'll put it up, they'll put it sideways. When it comes to Gematria and the Torah and all those things, I think what we have to understand is Hebrew, Aramaic, all of these languages were not created based on just humans. It was created based on the awareness of how creation was created in the first place. And I'll give you examples that are no coincidences, by the way. This is spoken about a lot in the Pyramid Code. There's a lot of Gematria numbers, right, how that works and how it correlates to certain languages. But you take the word life in Hebrew. Life in Hebrew is the word chai.
Right.
Chai is made up of two letters. You have chet and yud. Chet is the letter 8. Yud is the letter 10. The way Gematria works is each letter has a number, but each word is the sum of the numbers of each letter. So if you take chet and yud, which spells chai, and you add 10 and 18, you're going to get 18. Now, let's look at what things, for example, like the Schumann resonance are. The standard Schumann resonance is 7.83 hertz. If you take 7 plus 8 plus 3, you're going to get 18. If you take the standard resonance of the human body, you're also going to get 7.83 hertz. It's the same thing as Earth.
Right.
Again, 18, the resonance of life. Now look at what certain individuals in power have done. They've taken the number 18, broke it up to something like 666 and turned it satanic. Where those things come from is not an evil place. They've turned it into something evil. But the root of it all is not bad. You take the number 13. What do we think? Unlucky. If you take the word love in Hebrew, ahava, it's four letters. Aleph, hey, vav, wait, aha, aleph, hey, bet, hey. Okay? And you take those letters and you add them up, you're going to get the sum of 13. So what we just broke down is in its core and foundation, 18, the number, which is a frequency, it's a vibration, is the resonance of life. The number 13 is the resonance of love. And those are the two numbers that are frowned upon the most in the world because we're taught to stay away from them. Now that, in my opinion, was done strategically. You will see that in the Pyramid Code, it says that before the Exodus, there were 666,666 pyramids on earth. And everybody said, this is satanic. You're working with the cabal. No, no, no. That's not what's going on here. It's back then when things were more pure before it became corrupt, they understood that these numbers were very, very powerful to do incredible things. And what happened was the so-called cabal hijacked that and disguised something incredible as something bad. So we stay away from it, just like they do with everything else in the world, by the way.
Right.
And that's what we have to start seeing through. So the Pyramid Code speaks a lot about that. It speaks a lot about who built the pyramids, why they built the pyramids, how they built the pyramids, the technology that was used. We're under the impression right now that we're at the cutting edge of technology and medicine. We're as primitive as it gets. Right. We had incredible technology back then, and we still do today. The problem is a lot of that technology is in the wrong hands right now. And that's partly why I think the Pyramid Code came out at this point in time, to show the reflections of what happened back then and what we can stop today if we learn from our history that's been suppressed.
Right. And something that you're saying, I actually did a whole show on the pyramids and the truth. And what you're saying is so important, especially because it has been so corrupted by these evil people. And you and I both have talked a lot about during the last, well, certainly our whole lifetimes, but the last few years of this truth movement, there has been a tremendous amount of anti-Semitism, a lot of pointing fingers at the Jews. The entire Jewish history has been completely rewritten. A lot of people talk about the Khazarian mafia and this and that, who were not Jews, or we know, both of us discussed it. We talk about Soros, like I do a lot, I have for years. I don't care what people say. They call me anti-Semitic. A lot of these people, unfortunately, but people don't realize that not only are they not Jews, but they don't believe in God. And they don't, all the things that we're talking about, they want to suppress. They don't want Epstein's Island. His temple was a satanic temple where they had satanic rituals. That's part of the flipping of everything you're saying, even taking the pyramid as their symbol a lot of times is about this. Can you talk a little bit about how misguided the attacks on the Jewish religion and the Jewish people have been in this movement?
For sure. And before I even get there, I do want to say that even if there is, because there are certain Jewish people today that are doing very terrible things. Right. There are also terrible Black people, Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, and everybody in between. Right now, that happen to identify with something doesn't mean that something is bad. It just means that they're garbage people that identify with that something. So that's number one.
Right.
But if we go back in history, and by the way, I did a show with David Icke on this one because I asked him straight up. I'm like, listen, everybody thinks you're an anti-Semite. Talk to me, enlighten me.
Because I did the same thing with Ben Fulford.
Yeah. I mean, David Icke, I see him and I'm like, listen, you're an incredible man. You don't see hate in his heart when I speak to him, at least. So I said, David, tell me what's going on here. Where do you really stand? Because a lot of people are now anti-Semites because of your words, because they misconstrued something. And he said, no. Let's make things very clear here. The people in power today that call themselves Jews, so-called, including the Rothschilds and all these garbage people, I don't even want to call them people, all these garbage beings that are in power behind the scenes or not. What it goes down to, and he ran me down to the history of the Sabbatean cult. And in Hebrew, the man's name is Tzvi Shabtai, and he calls it something, that's Sabbatean in English. I just know it in Hebrew.
Okay.
Tzvi Shabtai in Hebrew, that man in history pretty much said, hey guys, I'm the Messiah. This is who I am. You're going to listen to me, and got a big following because people are dumb. That's usually what a lot of people do. And what happened next was he had nothing to do with Judaism. What he did was he used the so-called, what's it called? He disguised himself as we're Jews while really infiltrating something. And by the way, it's not just with Judaism.
Right.
Sabbateans, what they're known for is adapting with the people of the land that they're in order to infiltrate that land. That means that they did it in the US, they did it in 9/11, they do it in Saudi Arabia and all those royal families, they do it in Israel, they do it in all these places. Now, again, to be clear, I'm Jewish. I come from a family that literally came here from Israel.
I know.
I'm not against Israel. What I don't like is how Israel came to being, because it was not made to be a place for the Jewish people.
Right.
Not in the way that it is right now. What it was made for was strategically created to create problems. And if anybody pays attention, Israel is a little dot on the map that is very, very holy, by the way, in its history. Right. And the power that it holds, and it's sacred and it's divine. And certain people in power that were very intelligent and are very clever knew exactly what they were doing. And they said, okay, let's play a game called divide and conquer. And we're going to make people think that we're doing something in their best interest. And most people do. Right. But that's not why the country was formed in 1948.
Nope.
That's not why it was formed in 1948. Right. And the people behind it, if you go to the history, were not Jewish. They were part of that Sabbatean cult.
Right.
Now, with that being said, for any Jews listening that think I'm anti-Israel, I am not. I am not. I
mean, you wouldn't be on my show if you were. I have to tell you too, though, this is interesting, because I actually started really when I was learning, when I was in film school learning screenwriting, my first real foray into really going into historical drama was Eichmann in Jerusalem, The Banality of Evil book by Hannah Arendt. And I covered her and what she went through. And I'll tell you, Einstein, Arendt, Blumenthal, all these American Jews, before that happened with the with everything that happened in Israel and the state and Ben-Gurion and all these people, the Rothschilds, they put a full page ad in the New York Times. All these prominent Jews that came from after the Holocaust to America put an ad pleading for them not to make Israel a Jewish state, to make it a place for all displaced people that they could go and be safe and be accepted and be free to be who they were.
And by the way, that's what it always was. If you go to history, Palestinians and Jews were living together from day one.
Yeah,
it was from everything was fine. Nobody had a problem with you live here. You be my neighbor. At the end of the day, we're cousins. If you want to go back.
Yeah, well, the Abrahamic Accords are played off of that theory that that we're all cousins, all the Abrahamic religions, and that these people that you're talking about actually saw that, infiltrated it, changed history, exactly. And then started raising generations like the kids that are raised in the Palestinian territory. They're raised with lies and hate so that they never get out of it. And it's really, it's brainwashing from very young. And there's a lot of that, but I'm really glad because I don't really see that many people out there, especially Jews, that are actually stepping up and saying, this is enough's enough. This is not real. This is not true. And I don't see it. But one thing I do say a lot, especially when I was in Hollywood, but you know, I went in New York and I went to NYU for way longer than I wish now, but I had to pay it back. You know, once you pay it off, you're like, that really wasn't worth it. But I have to say that a lot of the Jews, you know, people say all the Jews run media in Hollywood. I will tell you something, probably 99% of the Jews that I've met that have power in both Hollywood and the media, if you ask them, they will say that they're atheists and that they do not follow in any way. I consider, to me, my Judaism is the Torah, the Ten Commandments, and the Golden Rule, and that's all the five books of Moses. And then after that, it gets a little esoteric for me.
Because after that, it's all interpretations, and even the Torah itself, by the way, most of the things there are based on interpretations.
Right.
And when the individual making the interpretations doesn't hold the proper level of awareness and consciousness to interpret something, then what you're really getting is a whole load of garbage.
Right. And it was hijacked, because I also remember when I was in Hollywood and I started to see the satanic stuff, because when I moved out there, it was overt. By the time I left Hollywood and like literally put all my stuff in my car and was like, I got to get out of here. It was absolutely covert. And I knew a lot about the satanic overtones cannot be denied, but I saw them up close and personal. Also satanic ritual stuff, all the secret societies, the witches covens that, you know, you have to be a part of to move up in their world, the satanic stuff. But like it really, really has bothered me that it's always oh, the Jews in Hollywood, the Jews in the media, they're not Jews, you know, and it's been frustrating. And then when I came across you and I looked into what you say and your writings and everything, I said, well, this is my understanding. And I wish more people were out there like you fearlessly, because, you know, and I know it'll be a lot of Jews that will attack this show. And I have to also say another thing that I believe happened. I wonder your take on it. I believe that the Jewish religion and the Jewish synagogues all over America were infiltrated by the same people. The Catholic Church and a lot of the Christian communities were infiltrated by, which are these same people that went in, because when I was growing up, I grew up, you're in Great Neck, I grew up in Cherry Hill, you know, there really wasn't that much division. I didn't see it, you know, not like this, but I did start to see that a lot of my friends raised their children without religion and without, you know, synagogue, and all that just became a social thing. And then you were watching it. So I think the Jewish religion in America and worldwide itself has been hijacked. And like I talked about Hannah Arendt, her big thing that they exiled her from Israel and all that, even though she was, you know, outspoken, very proud Jew that escaped the Holocaust twice, was because she called out the rabbis in Germany that gave up their list of congregants to save themselves. Of course, they just went last, but that was unacceptable to say. And I think we're at a point where the Jews in America, especially the liberal leftists, Jews that have a lot of money and a lot of power, are doing a lot of damage in the name of something that they are not. And I wanted your take on that.
Well, number one, I would make a distinction between religion and spirituality.
Right.
I think there's a very big difference. And religion is more like the religious side is the interpretation of the lower levels of awareness that we're seeing today. That I personally don't like in terms of where they brought it to. I see things like the Torah as teaching, so long as you have it through the correct awareness and consciousness. And I'm not saying that I do, but I do strive to. So that's right. What I want to learn, right? But what I think we have to get back to first and foremost, which they're trying to take us away from, is to see this thing as a spiritual way of life instead of a religion. Because religion does one thing. In terms of modern day religion as we know it, right, it's divide and conquer. And what we've been seeing, what I've been seeing at least, is like you said, they almost like the whole woke agenda. It looks like it's something good and it's not. In theory, I agree with moving away from the religion, so-called, and moving more into the spiritual side of this whole thing, of these books and all that, because that's really what they are. There's tons of mysticism in there. We're good. You know, we don't want to identify. So we're going to go identify as a dolphin instead, because you could be whatever you want. You know what I mean?
I do.
So they've taken it to this other side that's as counterproductive, if not worse, than when we started.
Right. Right.
And nobody's stopping that. And nobody's stopping that because that's what they want. That's what the people in power want. It's very convenient for them. Beyond just the money and the power, the only way to control people is by making sure that those people don't understand their true power. Right. And if you started empowering people to know that we used to have really high technology, if you started empowering people to know that it's possible to communicate telepathically, it's possible to move something without touching it, just like the moon moves an entire ocean from millions of miles away. Think about
right.
it.
Right. It's true. Horrible. Yeah.
You talk to somebody about, oh, you know how many people they come to me and they're like, oh, you're telling me you believe in astrology? I'm like, let me ask you a question. Do you know what makes high tide and low tide happen? They're like, no. I'm like, well, it's the moon. Okay. Well, if a massive celestial object, millions of miles away, that's not touching the earth, just through something called energy, will shift and change water on earth that makes up 70% of our earth every 6 hours, then what do you think it does to you that's made up of 70% water? And if the moon can do it, then what do you think Jupiter does? What do you think Venus does? What do you think Saturn does? These are all massive celestial objects that have an energy that changes things with the gravity. That's how everything works. By the way, that's also spoken about in all of these documents that I'm speaking about.
Right.
So,
Well, back to your documents. Yeah, I know. But back now, I could talk to you for days. But back to, this is our first primer show with you. We're going to have you back a lot. So the next thing that's I think, because you're saying, why are these coming out now? Yeah. I keep trying to ring the alarm about these people. And right now, I think the main face of the Rothschild family that people should be paying attention to is Klaus Schwab in his domain in Switzerland. We were told all our lives Switzerland was neutral. And we both know that is absolutely the opposite. But right now,
their home, by the way.
Exactly.
Literally.
Yeah, I know. And that's really, it's crazy how brainwashed they tried to make the world to not look at them, not look at the real source. Davos, Geneva, nobody even knew about this till like 3 years ago when people like me and you were out there like, hey, look over there. Yeah. that's what we have to do, dark to light. But what is very terrifying, and I think this may be connected, their transhumanism agenda eliminates God because they can't have their one world government, their great reset, all of that, and also have a God that each of us feels a spiritual connection to in our own way. It needs to be a one world religion as well. And there was a transhumanism conference in Spain that was obviously not publicized, but I got some info on it. And a former head of AI from Google, of course, do no evil. they said that their plans for these overlords, these puppet masters, is to replace God with a benevolent AI. Yep. I mean, the guy's going on and on about it to a room full of transhumanists. If people don't know, that means half AI, half human, completely surveilled and controlled by people that hate God and deny the existence. Basically, they're Luciferian Satanists, but that's a whole nother story. But this is really their plan. And they're implementing it as fast as they can in many different ways. And I wanted your take on the transhumanism agenda and how, you know, that God wins no matter what, you know.
First of all, the faster they implement it, the faster they're going to lose, because what you just said in terms of what their goal is impossible to actually reach. So the quicker they try and reach that goal, in a way, they're doing us a favor because they're literally going to come crumbling down. That's not to say a lot of people aren't going to get hurt and a lot of people are going to die, because that's going to happen. That's already happening. Right. And in some cases, maybe that's necessary for some people. You make a choice, you face a certain consequence, you come back and you try all over again. We call that reincarnation. Do it in the next cycle, you know? Right. So all in all, what I try and do is I always zoom out, right? What's the real cause of all of this? Is it really the Rockefellers? Is it really the cabal? Is it really these sick people in power? Or if we go a little bit deeper, the question could be, why do those people exist in the first place? I think that's what we have to start asking ourselves. Call it like on the individual level, it's called shadow work, right? You go and you expose the part of you that's been subconscious for so long. And the microcosm is a reflection of the macrocosm and vice versa. So what we're seeing right now is on the collective level, everybody likes blaming the cabal and the Illuminati and the Bilderbergs and the Freemasons and the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. And they're all sick human beings and non-human beings, whatever those things are, right? They're all sick in the head, but they're not the problem. Because let me tell you something, and I know you know this, you can go execute each and every one of them right now, they will be replaced.
Right.
Meaning they're not the root cause. The root cause is something that's going on collectively. Now we're talking on the spiritual level that allowed that to manifest into a physical reality in the first place. And in that way, I think we have to start focusing more on ourselves than we do on trying to execute Bill Gates and Fauci. Right. Because again, that's not going to fix anything. It may temporarily make a few things better, you know, but they will be replaced.
Right.
So how do we stop them from being replaced? Why do they exist in the first place? And the answer, in short, or at least my answer, would be it's not about taking down the few who control the many. It's about awakening the many so the few can't exist in the way that they do in the first place. And if we start awakening the many, sure, by exposing the few on the way, but if we start empowering the many, what we're really doing is we're shifting things from the root. Think about it like a tree. If you have a poisonous root that this tree is growing out of, the Fauci, the Bill Gateses, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, they're just the branches of the tree. And if you think that cutting off a branch is gonna make that tree become not poison, the answer is you're living in La La Land. You know, it's an illusion. What we have to do is solve the problem from the root. We are the root. We have to switch it from the literal root. And that's where I do my best to balance between exposure and exposing these sick things while simultaneously empowering and showing people you are not a victim.
Right. Right.
You are not at the mercy of anybody. You don't have to listen to anybody. You don't have to comply to something you don't want to do. And the second people start understanding that clearly,
right,
what happened at Southwest with the CEO right. coming and saying, we're not going to mandate anything. That will happen in every industry in the world, in every company, no matter how big or how small. And it doesn't take a war, and it doesn't take violence, and it doesn't take an execution, and it doesn't take anything of that nature. All it takes is people to become aware that they actually hold the power. And when they do, we can act accordingly.
Right. Wow. You're amazing. And see, here's what's happening. You're coming out and more people are being attracted to your message because your message appears to be the only solution that really will change things for good. I keep talking about the void of evil. You can't remove evil and think that leaving the void won't just have more evil. Like I always say about Operation Paperclip and the UN and everything that happened there. If we just, that's why people say, oh, nothing's happening. It's taking so long. And I keep saying, it's so much bigger than just these people. This is not about them. And it's interesting. I always say to people, like I reread Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand, and some other books, 1984 and Brave New World. This could have been predicted a long time ago because it's not new. But a lot in those books is about collectivism, wokeism, tribalism. What you're talking about is when you're out of your individual and not going inside to change individually, you're going to get caught up and it's just going to keep the evil in power because you'll do whatever it takes to be part of the collective rather than being standing out. And I think that's your strongest message. Now, I'm going to have you back, obviously, because now I think you're so right on what needs to happen. We can't remove evil and not think that evil is going to reinvent itself in a different cloak. It just 100%. Has happened over and over. You know, if we're awake now, and I believe that what you've been given, this gift and being tapped for this was no accident, obviously, but that's the real message. And I think whatever brought this to you, God, your background, your family is giving you a gift for humanity to really wake people up in a different way than we're used to. First, where can people find you? And second, what can people do right now that are looking for solutions or ways to get involved and to up their own game so that they can tap into what you're talking about?
That's just Jason Shirka on Instagram. I'm the real Jason Shirka because they deleted my first account. And in regards to the types of things that we can do, because I think that's the most important.
Right.
One basic lesson that I just have learned in a very quick period, by the way, in a very quick span of time, short span of time, is we are faced with adversity in order to give us an opportunity to fix that problem. We're not faced with it so it can beat us down and to feel like a victim. We're faced with it because if you are faced with that problem, that means you are capable of creating the solution. I'll give you a perfect example. I was on Instagram not for that long, got it was about 80,000 followers, just deleted my account, no questions asked, no emails, no warnings, no nothing. And I said, okay, what do we do now? You know, and whatever, I created a new account and I post every so often. That's what I'm doing there. But that wasn't the solution. That was just the Band-Aid. And for me, I said, okay, well, let's sit back and see what this means. I was deleted, meaning I am now faced with a challenge. I am now faced with adversity. Why was I why me in my position? I know a lot of us are, but I asked about my personal experience. Why did this happen to me? And how can I turn this into something great? What kind of solution can I create? And that's where I said, well, in the beginning, I thought it was crazy, but I went with it anyways. And I said, well, why don't we build our own social media platform? You know, let's just move the power from one person to the people. Instead of the few, we'll move the power to the many. So over the past few months, because I saw this coming with the deletions and all that, that's what I hired a whole team, built a whole team. And that's what I've been building over the past few months. And just about 12 days ago, I think, or 10 days ago, I launched, which is a sweater I'm wearing right now, a social media platform called Unified, which really stands for the declaration that we are one, we are here, we are together, we are free, we express ourselves freely, and nobody's ever going to stop that because the truth prevails. So I built this platform pretty much without copyright infringement, copied Facebook because I think they have a great platform in terms of how it's built. I didn't want people to have a learning curve. So I just said, let's build something that people know how to use and people will start using it. And that's what we did. So that's one of the solutions I brought forth, and that's on unified.com, which is right here again.
Yeah, we'll have all your links below for sure.
And I encourage everybody to do the same thing in your own way. You're faced with something. You're not faced with it to not do anything. You're faced with it because you have the resources to fix it, not just for yourself, but for everybody else in the world. And nothing is impossible. Everybody told me, they're like, are you crazy? You think that you could just build a platform like that? It's going to take years. It's going to do this. I'm like, no, honey, no, we're going to do it. And we did. And it took about 4 months, and we have a great platform, and there are thousands of people on there right now, and it's fine, you know, and we're able to do that because nothing is impossible. You just got to go for it.
Right. Right. And, I'm really, really honored to have you on. I'm so excited to meet you. This is hopefully the beginning of a lot of discussions that other people won't have and should be. And you are becoming one of my favorite people. And God gave you a real gift, and you're using it for good. And people need to follow you and hear what you're saying. And certainly look up the pyramid code. But everything else that's coming out from you, I think, is a spiritual solution to what is a spiritual problem. And that's what we have to do, is go that direction with everything, with medicine, with everything, with society, all of it. It's all a spiritual problem, and it has a spiritual solution, and you are bringing it out. And I thank you very much for being here and for being who you are. And I'm so blessed we were brought together, and I will see you again very soon. You are you're an amazing guy, and I'm enjoying every minute of getting to know you, and I know my audience will too. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
See you soon. Thanks.
See you.